Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You'll walk, Nick. You tell the truth and you keep your wits. Run your mouth and they'll screw you, man.
I got nothing to hide.
I hope not, for my sake.
Johnny, Bobby, how you doing?
Hey, Nick. Hey, listen, good luck tonight.
Thanks, babe.
How's your lawyer?
Hardly know him.
Let me tell you something, Nicky. If these people get their way, you get to know them real well. Hell, you'll probably be sending these kids through college.
Sometimes you gotta forget your head and grab your balls.
Whoa. This is Film Sash. Oh, sure.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Film Sack. This is Film Sack, episode 599. Good Lord. I'm Scott Johnson, joined today by Brian. He always runs a few illegal street races before he gets to the office, Dunaway.
How are you supposed to pay the ex-wife? Oh, hi.
Hi.
This week on Film Sack, we rain down on our favorite streaming service like a recently divorced and handling it New York City cop whose jurisdiction includes flying to Japan to bust up a late 80s setup at a spite black market counterfeiting ring ran by some Yakuzis on Suzukis. Suzukis. No, Yakuzas on Suzukas. Mobs on bikes. Anywho, I am here to return disc 2 of the Romance in the Stone Blu-ray. I never returned, and to make amends in the traditional manner it is for us podcasters, by doing a little thumb-chopping action. So how much should I take off? How about I cut the thumbnail down to the quick? Ooh, that hurts like hell and shows I'm willing to sacrifice for our relationship, right? No? How about just a tip then? So whenever I try to smash a bug or text my ex-wife, I will see it and go, oh yeah, amends. You want more? All right, all right. To the first knuckle then, so I can still open pickle jars and I still know the pleasure of going vroom vroom on my motorbike. What? More? But pickles and motorbikes, the vroom! Okay, okay. Down to the nub then. Oh well, at least I can still pleasure myself. Yeah, don't think about that too long. Toro! Randy! $50 says I'm faster. No context given or needed.
No, none.
Damn these suits.
Oh man. Yeah, damn these suits. These darn suits. Well done. Also with us, Randy. Don't take his coat or he'll chase you through a neon Tokyo mall at midnight, Jordan.
Aloha, Scott. Brian.
Hi.
And thank you all for coming to this briefing on short notice. I see that you, Scott, have a pretty bad cut on your face from the fight with the subject.
Yeah.
Don't worry. That will vanish tomorrow like magic. I also see it says here that you got cut when the perpetrator, who's a Japanese national, tried to kill you, and we have multiple witnesses, and we're about to treat you like shit over it, rather than treat you like the biggest hero we've had in years. Mm. Okay, so
America.
I've been instructed to send this guy back to Japan, and rather than do anything reasonable, like hand him over to the State Department for that, I need to send two precinct detectives on a commercial flight for this? Okay. Okay, sure. All right. I'm sure it'll go fine as long as you follow my three rules for international prisoner transfers. Number one, don't do anything like preparation over the phone. Don't ask for faxed pictures of the foreign officers you're going to meet. You want this to be a complete surprise. Maybe one of them will be wearing an eye patch. Number two, don't sequester a dangerous murderer on a plane. No. You put him right behind some randos, and you control him through the clever use of handcuffs and quickly thrown elbows to the face for justice. Okay, number three. This is important. Never, ever, ever, don't ever even spend 1 second with an interpreter. Interpreters are the worst.
Yeah.
They only make things take longer. You don't want this to take forever, do you? Exactly. No interpreters.
Yep. And then what's great about interpreters in movies is they have interpretation for a while, but then you realize the guy knew English the whole time. It's always the trope.
Right. Trope alert. Right.
Drives me
Everybody
crazy.
In Japan knows English, right? Because most countries, unlike America, require their citizens, or at least encourage their citizens, to learn a second language. We do in America too. But
no, good discussion. True. Let's get on.
Let's keep going and avoid Ibbot's intro. Just kidding. Here comes Ibbot. Hey, finally in the list we've got Brian. It's like Blade Runner, except the blade cuts off your friend's head, and the runner.
Oh, look at that!
Yeah, the runner rode a motorcycle. Ibbot.
Oh, nice. Sorry, I stepped on the second half of your joke. Sorry about that. Like you broke your finger. And I didn't even need Andy Garcia joining me for any karaoke this week.
No.
But
no.
I'm going to do this one solo.
All right.
Can you hear that?
Yeah.
Look
quiet. I can hear it.
We hit a little more there. A little more. There we go. Oh, there we go. How about right there?
That's good.
Okay,
yeah,
good.
Chris. That's good.
Maybe I shouldn't have stayed up late the night before. I need a strong cup of coffee, or one or two or three more. Just when I thought I was safe, it's directed by Ridley Scott. It's no Blade Runner. Now I'm catching Z's. Now I'm catching Z's. Gotta do this on a lower register.
Yeah,
right.
Because I fell asleep during Black Rain. I fell asleep during Black Rain.
Nice.
How could I know that it would be this gray? How could I know it would be this slow paced? How could I know this wasn't a director's edit? How could I know when I woke up during the credits?
Good job.
Oh, my Lord.
I thank God for movie clips.
Yes.
Yeah, wait a
minute. Top 10 clips, baby. I'm done with this movie.
Unbelievable. That was amazing. And also, that's one for you 90s kids. Enjoy that.
That's right. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, by the way, those 90 kids are right now yelling. They're yelling at their phones listening to this, saying, Brian, Soundgarden has a song called Black Rain. Why don't you use that one?
Oh, yeah, right.
But it's not nearly as much fun.
No.
Not nearly as much fun. No.
No. That song's not based on this film, I assume. I assume not. Probably.
I don't know. The Black Rain, Soundgarden song? I don't think so.
Most Soundgarden songs from that time period, Chris Cornell has expressed, that were just word salad. It gave emotion. It was poetry.
Yeah.
Right.
I love those albums early on.
I could go through those lyrics so many times of the original song. Like, what the hell is he meaning on this Black Rain? Yeah.
You guys ever hear Presidents of the United States and Peaches?
Oh, yeah, it's ridiculous.
Of course.
It's just nonsense.
That's the whole grunge movement was mostly, you know, that was the point.
Can. They were put there by a
that
man.
That was the point. Yeah.
It's like, just nonsense.
For me, it's literally everything ever made by the band 311. Their heroin inspired.
Don't you besmirch 311.
I'm just saying, they did heroin and wrote down things on paper. And like, it was awesome.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
You shouldn't try to make sense of it.
I mean, come on.
Who else would put the two words together? Come original.
Yeah, come original. Right. You got to come original.
And then repeat it.
Yeah.
Repeat it ad nauseum for
five and a half minutes. Look, those guys knew what color their energy was, and it was amber, and they did just fine.
Yeah. One of the few bands coming out of Nebraska instead of Seattle, right? It's like, hey, we got something else to show you.
And you know what? I got some shocking news for you. Some of the best 311 is their recent albums. They're very good.
Oh, yeah. They just dropped something in the last couple of years.
Recently. Yeah, I want to say there's one from 2018-ish or so that is so freaking good. 311, still a threat. Real quick,
that karaoke was amazing, Ibbit. Thank you so much.
Oh, yes, thank you. Little... My pleasure. I didn't do any in Vegas, so I decided to do some here.
Yeah, I was going to say, I did Fred. Maybe that's what ruined my voice. That Fred Schneider thing I did probably wrecked my
voice. That was epic, by the way.
That was something.
Yeah, we're all very, very glad there's video.
I'm glad that exists. Well, let me tell you what else I'm glad exists. I'm glad that fake Scott Fletcher exists when Scott Fletcher gets home from a trip and doesn't have time to do a thing. Because fake Scott Fletcher stepped in and covered this week for him and gave us a little bit more information about Black Rain.
Black Rain! Nick Conklin is an NYPD detective who has come under fire from Internal Affairs, who believes he and his former partner stole money from evidence used in a drug bust. In addition, he is behind on his alimony payments. One day after an interview with Internal Affairs, Nick and his current partner, Charlie Vincent, witness a lunch meeting between a mafia and some Japanese men gone wrong when Yakuza gangster Sato arrives and kills the Japanese men after taking a small package from them.
There you go.
This is my favorite Scott Fletcher imitation I think I've ever heard. It starts
he's
off.
He's running out of gas.
Yeah.
While he's,
right.
While he's doing it.
Yeah, you can hear him kind of like that breath is getting real long, and you're like, you're going to have to breathe in a minute. Then you remember a computer did it.
Better up your game, Scott Fletcher. You're about to be replaced.
The best part of it is this, though.
Black Rain!
That part.
I agree. That's what I was
going to say.
That's why I thought initially when you accidentally played the clip earlier, I thought, oh, we have one from Fletcher because that did sound like it.
That part sounded like
it. It has his crazy inflection in it, which is creepy. And cool.
It's just it's real easy to summarize. It's two cops from New York City go to Japan.
Yeah.
And then the rest of the movie takes place in Japan. And there's Yakuza. Ooh, scary.
Yeah, Yakuza, the scary, scary, scary. Lots of tattoos and the finger cutting and stuff. It's always
lots of tattoos on those Yakuza.
Right.
Yakuza.
Lots of fans, too, in Japan. Didn't know how hot it was in Japan during the late 80s.
You know what I feel like they did here? I mean, they did film it in Japan. It's famous for Ridley Scott's famously said that he'll never work in Japan again. And when they were asked why, he said it was just so much regulation and weirdness. But I do think they kind of Vietnam'd it up a little bit in the look and feel.
Absolutely. They went with what the general public knew about Asians in the 80s.
I should have actually taken screenshots. I got my phone out and did the Google Eye thing on the screen of the TV so I could see what in the world some of the Japanese words said.
Oh, nice. I didn't think of that. That's a good idea.
What I was frustrated by is every time they're in Japan, everywhere they go, there are big words on the walls, on the pillars. There's like, oh, and I was thinking, I'm like, what would it be like if you were in anywhere in the world? Yeah. If you were like, we went into a restaurant and it said restaurant, huge font face, right? Like restaurant and like a pillar, you know, like it said eat here, you know? And that's what this was like.
Is that what they were? They were really generic words.
It was a bunch of really generic stuff.
Yeah.
And
that's great. That makes it even more Blade Runner, right? And all the.
I'm just saying, like, who did that? Was it Ridley Scott?
Who do you think?
Of course, who knows? He complained that regulations over there for film is just really hard and impenetrable.
It's just different than what he's used to. This is pretty common. You know, it's like, oh, he gets over there and he feels like a fish out of water because he is, which that's what this film was about, a fish out of water, right? Except that fish was very angry and tearing up the place.
Yeah, my guess is they're just not like... some countries are going to be more open to outsiders coming and filming all their crap there. But I feel like Japan was probably like, look, we're doing our own thing here, too. So you can come in here, but we got rules for you. But for everybody else here, you know, domestically, you can just make whatever you want.
Don't even know if it would go that far. I'm like, I feel like if you have somebody, and I hear all the time, and we live in this, you know, internet world now, and I hear people all the time. I'll say something that is just a fact of life in America and smile, look at me and just go, what? That's insane. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like the same would be true if somebody came over from Japan, was used to filming in Japan, they come over to Hollywood, they go, I got to fill out what? What do you mean we claim that we made a loss on every movie? Mm. This is insane.
Yeah, plus I think they go, no one even goes to Hollywood anymore. They go to freaking Georgia or sometimes Utah or other places where they have like tax breaks or better deals or, you know, whatever. So it's very different today, but Anyway, yeah, but you were trying to say something.
Yeah, I was going to say that, you know, he did so well. I know Blade Runner wasn't filmed in Tokyo, but he did a really good job of kind of making this version of Tokyo that was, what, San Francisco or something in the film.
Right. I can't remember.
Angeles? Is it just Los Angeles?
I think it might just be L.A., yeah. I think so.
Yeah. But for him to miss the mark so much on the feel and the look of Tokyo in Tokyo, or I guess in Osaka, is just kind of surprising after doing so well with it in Blade Runner.
I went to the filming locations list real early in this movie because I was like, did they just go to Chinatown or is this actually in Japan?
Oh, that's a good question, you know? Right?
And they actually did go to Japan, but like,
did they film in Osaka or was it in Tokyo?
Yes.
Cause some of that, okay.
Yeah,
yeah, I've never been. I've been to Tokyo.
Like fish market from
Tokyo. Yeah, exactly. I've been to Tokyo, and so when I saw that, I went, "Oh, this could be 89 Tokyo." I don't know. Yeah. I couldn't tell.
It says Osaka several times in the filming list, and it never says anywhere else in Japan.
Okay, that's cool.
Oh, I'll tell you, he found the dirtiest streets he could find, and
we did.
Wherever they keep the molten lava plant.
Yeah,
I love that place.
Yeah, that place was cool.
What are you making out here? Yeah. I don't know, but
You know, another week we get another factory on autoplay.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. With just molten metals, molten something.
Oh,
just
man.
Pouring from one bucket to the
next.
That's
a great way of putting that.
We've talked about this trope so many times, but this time I have something new for the trope. It's not just a Sparks Factory.
Give it to us.
I realized, by the way, the Sparks Factories are always dimly lit.
Yeah.
Why is that?
Yeah, that seems
Why
like
is it
box.
Dark in there?
So you can see this box.
Yeah, I mean, yes, visually it makes a difference, but it's that's an OSHA violation, clearly. You got to have some lighting in your freaking Sparks Factory. You know, someone's going to get burned.
Ridiculous.
So Andy Garcia is going to walk in there and get a spark in his eye. This is no good.
Poor Andy Garcia. Stupidest death in a movie ever.
Yeah.
How did he get killed? Because he's a dumbass playing Toro bullfighter with his jacket with motorcyclist. I'm like, what the hell is this weird
stuff? It was weird. And also,
it was a hard death. It was sad because I really liked his character. I really liked I hidden the fact that he's kind of a man crush for me, Andy Garcia.
Oh, yeah. I knew he was dead, though. The moment he mentioned that he was working towards a promotion, I'm like, oh, you'll never see that.
Hey, Brian, did that man crush
I knew he was dead when he said he's going to be in and out of geishas like a pickpocket.
There you go.
Did it.
I just thought he was going to be dead from syphilis or something.
Hey, does your man crush for Andy Garcia come from like the Oceans movies, like the Vegas aspect of it all?
Earlier than that, I'm trying to think of what it was.
Untouchables, maybe? Was it
maybe Untouchables? No, it couldn't be Untouchables because I didn't see that until later.
Mm.
What was before, like When a Man Loves a Woman? There was something where he was starring. I'm gonna have to look at his
IMDb. Look at his IMDb.
Figure out what it was that
he's just so likable. It's just
because
really
if you ask Tina, if you just say flat out, "Hey Tina, if Brian ever had to be with a guy, who would it be?" She'd say, "Oh, probably Andy Garcia."
Really? Yeah. And you still like him?
Yeah, why not? He doesn't change.
Why wouldn't I like him?
He's a competition.
The remake of Father of the Bride that just
I shut
came
it
out
down.
Last.
Wherever my significant other says, "Oh yeah, do them," I just shut it down.
Mm.
Brad Pitt, me and him, we Fight Club, right here, baby.
Oh, I'm the opposite. Oh, wow.
He was
an alpha.
His first,
like
by the way,
really, really useful information at that point. Like that's very, very handy to know.
His
Thank
first
you.
First acting job was in a show called Que Pasa USA. And he played Pepe.
Must have been a kid. Must have been like
kiddish. I mean, 79, he would have probably been like 18, 19, something.
Been like 10 years younger.
Really?
He was in Archie Bunker's place and he was a kid. Let's see.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
This would have been the earliest thing I would have seen him in. But the next year was Internal Affairs. The year after that was Dead Again. And then Jennifer 8 the year after that. That would have been peak Andy Garcia time for me.
He was
I'm
born
realizing
in 56.
I wildly underestimated Garcia's age when he made this movie. Like by so much. I'm watching this movie and I'm thinking, wow, this 20-year-old Andy Garcia has really got it going on here. So 20-year-old, look at 20-year-old Andy Garcia.
Yeah.
So
you
got to understand, I was not watching R-rated movies at the time, but I grew up in a place surrounded by people named Garcia, and they were so excited that there was a person named Garcia in Hollywood.
In movies, in big movies. It was a big deal.
And you know, it turns out that he's like, Cuban refugee. Mm-hmm. And like, nice. this makes people sure. happy. Mm-hmm. And I always thought he was a lot younger than he is. Like, he just looks, he has a baby face, right?
He does. He does.
Yeah. But he's still awesome. Even old man Andy Garcia, which is not super old, but he's getting there. And I still love him.
Oh, yeah. Look at him. He's awesome. Look at that guy. He looks like he's going to.
Born in 56, by the way, if you want
to. Right. Yeah, 56. So, were you going to say that he was like 33 when he made this?
Yeah. Yeah. He was 32-ish when he made this.
They claimed he was, 27 or 8 in the movie? They said, oh, he's
easily. Yeah, easily looks that young.
Yeah. This is a year or two years after after Untouchables. Which is amazing.
All right, well, he's too old for me.
He's too old for me.
Yeah, he's robbing your cradle, Brian. He's robbing your cradle.
Also, I got it.
He's also too male for me.
Sorry, but, I don't date older men.
Yeah.
Sorry, I
can't
just find them too old.
Can't be doing that. You find them too old. I can't date older men. They're too old. That's amazing. Yeah. That's great. All right, so this movie this is the only Ridley Scott movie other than his first film that I've never seen. I've never seen his first film, and I've never seen this. But I think I've seen every other Ridley Scott movie.
I was looking at that list. I was like, there's no way you've seen all of these. Like, let me pull
Scott
up.
Scott talks about it a lot. He does like him. Ridley Scott, like me too.
Oh, I know, but there were
fanboy too.
Because somebody, when I was looking at, I pulled up a Rotten Tomatoes list of all the Ridley Scott movies ranked best to worst.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to pull it up again because
take your time. Where'd you? No worries.
What kind of keyboard do you have, by the way? I just want to know because it's very clicky. I really like it.
When I'm in a hurry, I type hard. I press really hard.
If I type harder, then it'll be faster.
So, Legend. We haven't seen on this show. I still haven't seen it.
Whoa, you need to see Legend. Legend's great.
I've not seen Legend. This is what I am waiting for. To watch on here. House of Gucci came out last year or a couple of years ago. House of Gucci, Lady Gaga, Adam Driver.
You know what? I'm an idiot. I didn't know he made that. I thought he just produced it. I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah, so. I didn't know it either. Someone to Watch Over Me, Tom Berenger watches over Mimi Rogers.
He watches over Mimi Rogers.
He does. He basically is like a bodyguard who watches. Again, a perfect one for Film Sack because it's right in that late 80s.
Did you see did you see his Chanel number 5, the swimming pool? Did you see that? That was great.
No, I didn't see that. Was that a thing?
Yeah. In the commercial. He did a lot of short stuff.
Yeah, he directed commercials for Chanel all through the 80s. And that's like one of the things like they made fun of him. Saturday Night Live made fun of him.
He set the vibe for that shit.
Right. He's in that King of Ads thing. Right. Okay. Yeah. Never mind. You're right. I don't think I've seen that. So if that counts, I've not seen that.
But how about that 1984 Apple Mac?
I did see that a bunch of times.
Oh yeah. But Rotten Tomatoes ranks, or the people on Rotten Tomatoes rank Alien, no surprise, as his as his number one movie. Blade Runner is until number 4. Surprisingly, Martian comes before Blade Runner, which I would disagree
now
with.
Can I say G.I. like Jane Russian, Will Smith slap me for that
G.I.
well.
Jane's fine.
Keep that damn movie's name out your damn mouth,
out your mother effing mouth. I don't think Hannibal's a great movie, but I did see it.
Yeah,
I thought White Squall.
What did you think about
fine.
the brain eating scene? That was
all right.
Hannibal.
Hey, look, if you're gonna
climax, right?
Yeah, if you're gonna eat Ray Liotta's brain, you may as well do it in that movie.
So good.
I feel when I saw that, like that was they basically said, oh, let's have a scene where he eats somebody's brain while they're still alive and feeds them their own brain. Cool. Now write a movie around that.
That's exactly that's what they did. Yep. And it's very stylish, very well made. But like, and you know what? That's a good comparison to this movie because it's got all the stylistic directorial stuff you expect from Ridley Scott. But just, I think this is a little on the flimsy story side.
Oh, wow. That's a.
Maybe a lot.
100% agreement.
I think we're all there with you. Like, this is
it's all polished substance.
Saying a movie isn't in Ridley Scott's top 20 is not the biggest complaint.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Like, it's okay. It's fine. Like, he made it way better than it could have been in lesser hands. Right.
Right.
I enjoyed staring at it. It was a good stare. Yeah.
It's a beautiful movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. His first movie, by the way, I was trying to think of it. It's called The Duelists. It was It was a movie. It was set in 1801. He did TV stuff before this and shorts and stuff, but 1977, set in France, 1801, some sort of almost like Last Duel deal, like the other movie you did recently here, which I quite
like. Does one of the guys set stand like behind his horse and watch his buddy die?
Always.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, if you had asked me, is Black Rain before or after Legend? I would have said Legend was the newer movie and Black Rain was the older movie. Yeah. I don't know why, but that's where my head's at. I love
Duelist. Would have said, by the way, is the number two ranked movie on Rotten Tomatoes.
What is it again? Sorry.
Ridley Scott. Really?
And well, used to be my favorite Western of all time.
What was it again?
Used to be. Uh-oh. What happened?
Oh, The Duelist. Okay.
Yeah, the 1977 thing ranked higher than Blade Runner and The Martian.
Did it get bumped down, Randy, in your list because something better replaced it, or did it just not hold up well?
Well, it's not really a Western. I stopped thinking of every movie that fits some kind of like broad genre as Western.
Well, it's set in, so it's you were a blockbuster in your brain.
It wouldn't work anyway. That wouldn't work as a Western
action.
It wouldn't work as a Western anyway. It's literally in France and it's 1801. It's like way out of the vibe.
Spaghetti Western?
No,
hell no. It like. By a broad definition, it's about people dueling.
Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah,
it's a really good movie, and oh my gosh, wow! I mean, like everything about it is so beautiful and so like quiet and exciting. Like I love the Duelist.
Could you see Ridley Scott if he had made a slap movie like that would be like the new version of the dueling?
Oh hell yeah,
modern day dueling.
Let's get into that. Yeah,
slow motion slapping and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I'd be into that.
Currently viewable on Pluto TV and Canopy. If you want to watch the Duelists,
that spells quality.
Does it? Yeah. That spells I think that spells commercials is what that spells.
Yeah, exactly.
I gotta say though, Brian, any list that doesn't have Gladiator in the top three is not correct.
Yeah, I know. It surprised me that Gladiator, where is Gladiator in this list? Last man. Duel, Thelma and Louise, American Gangster, All the Money in the World. Gladiator doesn't make it till number nine.
I don't want to watch Gladiator again, but I will always recognize it as a masterpiece. It's just
really good. You know what's better than all? You know what's better than most of those is the director's cut of Kingdom of Heaven. If you've never seen it, I mention this all the time. It is such an incredible movie.
I know it's supposed to be
the theatrical version. Is shit. It's garbage.
It seems like they should have ranked that one separately, the director's cut, because it gets a 39% on Rotten Tomatoes, down at number 22, below Legend.
Yeah,
and below Black Rain.
It's one of those things where I couldn't believe the difference. The old movie or the theatrical is kind of just bad, and you went, "Well, I guess Ridley Scott lost his touch. This is shit." And then you see this like, overlong but amazing director's cut. Mm-hmm. It changed. That's still the only time it's ever happened to me where a director's cut just completely flipped the lid on the whole thing.
We were so past the 70s, and I read some reviews about this film. A lot of people were talking about tropes, but me watching it this week, I don't know if I just didn't see the tropes that they were talking about. Surely there were tropes, but I didn't feel like it leaned on tropes necessarily. The first thing that comes to mind when I watch this movie is not, oh, this movie's tropey as hell. Because, I mean, even his character, Michael Douglas's character being a divorced dad, the way it's handled in this film, I can't think of the last time I've seen a film where a divorced dad was like this. Mm-hmm. You know, earning motorcycle wins to pay his alimony and stuff. I'm like, what?
But didn't I realize you're trying to always be open minded and give every credit where credit's due. But like this movie starts with Michael Douglas on a motorcycle, and you didn't think, ooh, I wonder if this is a motorcycle movie.
I had no. It blew me away.
Motorcycle things through over and over. Oh, look, motorcycles at the end. Like,
really? is there a spot in
that's
New York?
Superpower.
Is there a spot in New York where all the Suzuki riders just gather and under a bridge and do this thing? I was like, this is a world. This is a world. I know. I'm like, this is a world I've never seen. Yeah.
Yeah.
New York was still a dangerous place in 89, right? We hadn't cleared the New York not as dangerous place, right?
Have we not? I don't know. They made references in the movie that New York's a nightmare.
They spent the entire 80s trying to make that place, poorly tried to make that place a safer place, and it kind of did, right? Didn't the crime rate drop significantly?
Well, the early 90s through, and they mostly gave what's his name credit for this, but the 90s, the 90s was the cleanup decade. The 80s was like in the middle. The 70s, it was a hellscape. But that's,
well,
that's
Michael
what
Douglas
said.
Found a way to find the seediest areas in any city. He was just like, where's the seed at? I want to be
the
in
nearest
the seed.
Meat locker that I can have a fight in.
Yeah. 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 Yeah, exactly. Right.
I was surprised. Like the movie, I have no idea. I've also never seen this movie before. I go into it a blank slate and I was surprised to realize he's a cop.
Like, yeah.
It
just, yeah.
It took a while for me.
I think I remembered him being a cop from like advertisement I'd seen in it, but I remember him being like, he's a loose cannon. And it was kind of like that. I figured he probably got kicked off the force or something. Yeah. A little differently, but yeah.
Yeah. This is one I had never seen. And so I went in with only the memory of the VHS tape sitting on a shelf.
Yeah.
At a Blockbuster or something.
Blockbuster.
And I would always go past
seen
it.
Seen this
see
so
it.
Many times.
Seen it many times. And I thought it was like Blade Runner adjacent, like it,
right.
the way that world. Thing looks, it looks like, oh, it's like a future cop in some sort of cyberspace thing.
There was a lot of black rain in Blade Runner. So yeah. It makes sense.
Yeah, I really did. And in the background on that poster where he's sitting, it's sort of like juxtaposed with a bunch of Tokyo imagery. But again, like Ibbot alluded to earlier, it's very Blade Runner-y. And there's a lot of rain. It's dark. It's this Ridley Scott thing.
Is this the black rain they're referring
does the rain
to
mean
on the
something?
Title?
Does the water mean something?
But here's what's
it
hilarious.
Does.
Here's what's hilarious, though.
It.
Shut up about the water. Mr. hates movies with water.
Ibbot did it. Ibbot said, I didn't say nothing about it.
I just look.
I got totally in trouble and didn't even do it. Anything.
Anytime Minority Report can come up in a contentious way, I'm here for it. But here's the thing, though. Ridley Scott originally, according to everything I could read, I went on a deep dive on this. He was pitched Beverly Hills Cop. And this script the original script for Beverly Hills Cop 2, I guess, was this. And it was just tweaked and changed and all this stuff. And he ended up doing this. His brother, Tony Scott, gets the actual final script for Beverly Hills Cop 2 and goes and makes that. And they make these at the same effing time.
Makes me sad.
And for the first time ever that I can think of, Tony beats Ridley.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a better movie than this. And there are a lot alike. You got a cop fish out of water going to another place. The comedy's not there.
But water. What now? Water?
But you know, like,
is it the fact that, one has Gilbert Gottfried talking about, now you look at the bribe in this hand. Now let's forget about this hand for a second. That's what Seal did for Tony Scott.
Yeah, that was the deal. He went, you know what? I'm in, he says. To me, they're similar themes, very different tone, but similar theme. Take the cop out of a city he's comfortable with, put him in one he's not, doesn't have the power there. He's got to work with the locals. Like it's Beverly Hills Cop, but just in Japan without any laughing.
No laughing, except your own laughing.
Yeah.
Right.
And in some ways you could see that being Ridley Scott territory, and Tony Scott's a little bit more of the fun action guy. But I feel like as time goes on, I appreciate Tony Scott's stuff.
Tony Scott.
More and more. I was really sad when he died. He jumped off a bridge when he found out he had cancer.
That was brutal.
Yeah, it was really brutal. Yeah. But more and more as time goes on, his movies are freaking great. Top Gun, I love that Pelham, I forgot the name of it.
Oh, Taking of Pelham 1-2-3.
Yeah, his remake of that was great. The Man on Fire is incredible. Oh my gosh. Mm. Tony Scott, he was
a force. I loved it.
Yep.
This Black Rain, though, what makes me laugh about it is anytime I look up a movie on Google. And like, yeah, I like to see what people are asking about the movie. That's the reason. That's probably about the only time I ever go to Google. Mm. I otherwise just don't go. Anyway, people
like
also ask
Google.
People also ask, what happened at the end of Black Rain? Mm. That's a sign of quality. That means nobody remembers the end at all.
If that's the question you get, oh man.
Yeah.
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 Wait, what happened in that movie again? I forget.
If there are 45 YouTube videos saying ending of Black Rain explained.
Yeah.
Yeah. You did it wrong.
Yeah, it's pretty easy. It's like he gave him the money things.
Yeah, the plates. Was that the question? Like, but the fact that he had the plates to give back to, or he managed to plates.
Did he change his mind? What was in the present?
That's a great question.
That he gave him. He didn't open his present.
Oh.
Maybe there was, what was in there? A tie? I don't know. His gun back?
You're not wrong. And then
kimono.
He, And then just walking away and him like, you know, I'll give the Sato guy, that actor, let's see if I can find his name. I'll find it in a second.
Yeah,
I
like now, that guy. Now, Sato, the bad guy or his partner that was...
The partner guy's Sato, hero, isn't
Masa.
It?
He calls him Masa so many times.
Oh, Masahiro. Masahiro, that's his name. Yeah, I really like that actor a lot. He's freaking great.
He is great. Sato, the bad guy... did he have like bladder cancer during this film?
Correct. Yeah, and he was 40, and he died immediately after making this movie.
Because he refused to get the treatment while he was doing it.
The thing was, okay, so that's true. But from what I read, doctors are like, he's not going to make it regardless. And he was like, I want to make this movie and not be grossed out and sick the whole time. So let's just do it. I kind of respect it. I think I would have done that too if I was him.
He also tried to cure the bladder cancer by cutting off his own appendage.
Oh, I thought you were going to say thumb. Are you being serious or are you joking? I wouldn't hear this.
Either way, it's going to be terrible now. It's going to be
joking.
Right. Yeah, okay, yeah. Okay, good.
Okay, good. So terrible. Like the reality is broken right now in the universe. So I just got to. You gotta remember.
We now live in a current timeline where nothing is real. So yeah, I don't believe it.
By far the most memorable thing in this movie is Sato cutting his finger off. It's so shocking and gross.
Yeah,
and I had to keep chasing. I had to keep chasing my kid out of the room while I was watching it.
Mm-hmm. out!
And they didn't even really show it. Like, it was off camera when they cut it and it made a noise face. It's worse. He made a noise and it was awful. Yeah, I hated it.
And that face he made, they certainly showed him when he stabbed the head Yakuza in the hand, though. It was
Sugai is the big bad in this movie.
I like that every time Dunaway screams, he's got his Discord set to cut off the high pitch. So he just goes blank. I love that. Luis Guzman is in this for a hot 5 seconds.
Briefly.
That was cool.
I am not convinced that was Luis Guzman's actual voice. I think he was overdubbed.
Oh, you think so?
It probably was.
They were all overdubbed in those. The first third of this movie is nothing.
This is still 80s. We're doing a lot of overdub.
It's a lot
during this time.
And we still do it now. It's just we're so much better at it now. It's just you can't tell
now. Like, you know how Luis Guzman sounds a little bit like Mike Tyson?
Yeah.
A little bit. And then in this movie, he did not. He sounded like a baritone white guy.
They did that with Cliff Clavin in Empire Strikes Back. He's in it, the actor, Ratzenberger, and he tells him to shut the bay doors because they can't find Luke or whatever. But it's so weird because you look at him and you're like, yep, that's Cliff. And then he speaks and he goes, it's time to shut the bay doors.
Oh, yeah.
You're like, what the frick?
Hey, you're not going to find Luke tonight. You're going to have to maybe give it another day.
Yeah, maybe tomorrow we fly out there with the speeders and we find him that way.
Yeah, people don't know that the bay doors actually were invented by the Mayans.
You do a killer Cliff. My favorite moment of like extra actor business was seeing Steven Root and Richard Reel in the same room interviewing him when he's getting his cheesed for being a bad cop or whatever. And those two guys would later be in Office Space. Of course, Steven Root famously with the stapler and everything.
Yeah.
And then Richard Reel's the guy in there doing the interviews or doing the what the hell were they doing, those two? Him and Dr. Cox.
They were just
internal affairs investigators.
He's the guy who invented the jump to conclusions, Matt.
I just don't know what that was, but also Steven Root, this is very early in his career.
Oh yeah,
and I love seeing that dude do anything. So that was just a moment for me.
A couple of faces in here, like John Spencer.
John Spencer.
Don't forget, we get the briefest of appearances of our favorite stuntman, Al Leong.
Oh yeah, that's right. Barely in there. Kate Capshaw in a better performance for Kate Capshaw than Temple of Doom. She was actually decent in this. She was terrible.
It would be hard to find a worse performance by Kate Capshaw than Temple of Doom.
Nice, but to what point? To what point was her character here?
That's exactly what I was trying to ask.
To what point?
One piece of information that she gives him, and that's really it, right?
Yeah. She'll somebody to make out with later and kiss, you know?
Yep, exactly. By the way, her real name is Kathleen Sue Nail.
Really? Nail?
Okay. Like, N-A-I-L, yeah.
See, now, if you were an actor, a young actress in the 2020s, you'd call yourself Kate Nail.
Kate Nail. Right.
That's cool.
But only if you wanted to do action films.
Yeah.
Kate Nail.
Or Cat Nail, you know?
Kitty Nail.
Kitty Nail.
That would be a porn name.
Yeah. Also, a thing you need to cut.
Sometimes you got to forget your head and grab your balls. It
That's right, exactly.
But yeah, like it was a weird cavalcade of people we would see later. Brian Dunaway, you mentioned John Spencer. I love that guy.
Yeah, I love that guy.
Much younger so here. Great. And he was, you know, of course, probably most famous for his run in West Wing. Incredible on there.
West Wing. So good in West Wing.
Died in the making of West Wing. But incredible on there. And really good on The Rock. He was the one that got hung out by Sean Connery off the edge of the thing for being a dick. Womack, you call it. It was his name. I knew it was you, Womack. Remember that whole thing?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Let's get him watching that again.
Did you guys buy Michael Douglas's characters?
No.
Hate first
whatever exactly. Whatever the rest of that question is, no.
There were so many points. It's like he's so angry about suits, and I'm like, it just doesn't. I don't know. You got to give me more. He's just like, it's like that's the part. That's the part that's maybe tropey, probably to me the most. It's like, oh, he's a cop. He hates the suits.
Yeah,
he hates the suits.
Ah, the system. But, the system. I'm just a good cop trying to do good in the system, keeping me down.
Okay. Yeah. I agree with you. I didn't buy it.
Right.
However, the real nut of this movie is the scene where he and Masahiro are they've gotten it done, basically. They're at an inflection point. They're eating noodles. They eat noodles several times. But they're eating noodles. And Masahiro just asks him point, give it to me straight. Did you do this crime as a cop? And he admits it. And I wasn't expecting, for starters, I wasn't expecting him to have done that crime. I thought he's an innocent guy who's just been around some dirty cops the he's whole desperate. Movie up to that point.
Yeah.
And the movie is
desperate.
It's on a hinge at that moment. And I'm like, this movie's about to lose me. It's about to completely lose me because he actually did the crime. He's admitting to it. And this guy across from him is the most straight arrow that ever lived. Yeah. And this movie is going to lose me. They are going to go their separate ways. And I'm no longer invested. And instead, what Masahiro says at that moment, and what the way Ken Takakura delivers that statement about you bring disgrace upon yourself, on your partner, and me, and so like, wow, I was like
the brotherhood of
this is actually a really good movie.
He's
I
great.
Was the same way.
He's great. That dude's great. Like of everything in this movie, he's the most memorable for me. He's the most interesting character. Like I really liked him. Then this concept that he used to be part of Yakuza and is now a cop, and you know,
I really needed them to solidify who that young man was in his room faster, though, because I was like, is that his boyfriend? And he's like much younger. I'm like,
did they say it was his son or something?
They did eventually say that's his son, but that question just lingered in the air for far too long for me, and I wasn't hearing anything they were saying. I'm like, who's this kid?
Yeah, who's this kid? And what's he up to in there? That's weird.
Right.
Yeah.
It wasn't because he was gay. It was because, is he into like young men?
Yeah.
And so I was like, am I supposed to like this character?
Yeah.
Is there something going on here?
Then you got all distracted and you're like, well, damn, I can't even watch this movie now. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I feel you.
He's
just really good. And I would recommend the movie for that performance. He's no longer with us, died in his 80s, but did a lot of really cool.
Good job.
A lot of cool crossover English and Japanese work. Very cool actor named Ken Takakura. Okay, there you go.
This movie really didn't know how to handle the Japanese language.
Nope.
You know, like we've already talked about this, but just like he is perfectly good at delivering lines in Japanese and English. Mm-hmm. And like the whole movie, I felt like, hey, why don't we have everyone else do that? This why is Ken Takakura the only actor who's delivering lines in Japanese and English and like successfully?
Yeah, he's really good. Yeah.
I love the Japanese chief, though.
Oh my lord,
he makes a burro
walk and mail
observer.
Yeah,
you could just never tell what's about to come out of that guy's mouth. I was just like, oh, here it comes.
Yeah, that guy, the one that was you're talking about, the head boss, the Yakuza guy.
Yeah,
he kept like, I don't even know how to describe his voice. I don't even know. It was ADR. He's
Brian, Brian's talking about the chief of police.
Oh, I thought you meant chief of the Yakuza guy. Okay.
Yeah. Well, that guy you couldn't read. He was just like, he looked pissed off. And then as soon as he starts delivering his lines, his face would just go everywhere with contortion. And I was just like, I don't know how to take this guy.
Is this the Yuya Ushida, I think, played Nashida?
I'm not sure what the character's name was. He was just the trope. He was the chief. He's the angry chief that's going to yell at all the, you know, he is a trope.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Possibly Ohashi.
I might have a picture.
What's the name of the character?
It's either Ohashi,
Miyuki. A lot of Asian actors that are not with no pictures in
them. Yeah. There's some like this, Yoshuka Masuda actor played Sato, the psycho. He was a bona fide monster megastar in Japan.
Like, yeah.
Huge. Like, they couldn't get it. Said there's a bunch of notes in here about everywhere they went to do filming, they couldn't move 5 feet without 1,000 people mobbing him for, like, signatures and stuff. Just crazy. But you bring him here, nobody knows. It's like Indian. It always reminds me of Indian stars, like from Indian Bollywood movies. Yeah. Over there, they're just like lords and queens.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You bring him over here, yeah, and we're like, hi. Like,
I don't know, which makes me wonder too, because that's the closest we have to royalty in the U.S., right? Is the Hollywoods. And I'm curious how that.
I think it translates better for us. Well, I think when you see Brad Pitt here, we're stoked. And if you see Brad Pitt in China, you're stoked. I think if you see a Chinese megastar in China, they're stoked. You bring him here, and we're just not used to whoever that is yet. We just don't know yet.
Yeah.
So it's part of what makes us kind of cocky dicks over here. You know what I mean?
Not all of it.
Just a little piece of it. You know what I'm saying?
That and our cowboy attitude, as Michael Douglas came in here with his cowboy attitude in Japan, and it's just like, yeah, this is how we roll in America.
See, and this is where I get hung up, because I actually think there were a bunch of actors in their prime at the time I would have preferred over Michael Douglas. I like him as an actor, but I just don't think this is his jam. I think maybe Bruce Willis would have been really good here. I think maybe oh gosh, it's easy to go Stallone or Schwarzenegger, but not even them. Like, just someone else.
I'm with you. I like Michael Douglas, but seeing him do all these, you know, being just super passionate about bikes and yelling about suits, it all just felt fake.
I think he needs to be in more low key kind of action where he's getting accused of sexual harassment and things like that.
Yes,
he's an amazing, like Fatal Attraction. Oh, he's so good. Yeah. I believe that. That's a believable.
By the way, I hear that new series based on that. The Fatal Attraction show is supposed to be really bad.
Oh, really?
So don't watch it.
Oh, really? No, Michael Douglas.
No, he's not in it. Well, maybe that's why. But that's anyway, it's on like Peacock or I don't know what.
Any gratuitous upskirt shots?
No, and no Newman there to witness it. That's a ripoff.
No,
yeah, there's your problem. Yeah,
I am an unabashed fan of Michael Douglas, and I want to defend him a tiny bit here, because I thought about over the course of the movie, I thought about what if this was Tom Hanks, or I don't know who are the you know what
Boy,
I mean?
You like went
people
out.
Who are oh, more famous
in Japan.
Oh, right. That's his dragnet.
There were people who were more famous.
I always
famous.
Have to go to bachelor party Tom Hanks.
For me it's like Toy Story hung Tom Hanks. Right, like exactly. Nothing like his regular voice.
Give us more ready.
What if this was Kevin Spacey? He's still a little bit young. I had another thought there. Like, what if this was, like you said, Bruce Willis or Al Pacino? What if this was Al Pacino?
Oh, it'd be
Al Pacino. That's a good one. Yeah.
And
agreed.
And every scene in this movie, I felt like solidified Michael Douglas. It's his movie, and it really starts working for me when they're at out on the farm in Japan. They go out on the farm.
Yeah,
they're trying to cause a gang war, and a gang war happens without them really doing anything. And I just like, he has to be an action star. He has to run in front of the camera. He has to shoot guns. He has to fight people. And Michael Douglas really nails it. I really liked it.
Yeah. By the end, I was actually, it improved in my mind for him as casting until he started thumbs up and waving in the airport. That drove me crazy.
There's a reason why I didn't see this film. Because growing up, when I was of eight, when this movie came out, in most of Michael Douglas's action films, I was too young. He felt like my mom's action star, whereas, you know, like Bruce Willis and all those guys, they felt like my. And when I saw this, I was like, this is gonna. When I saw the box and everything, I'm like, I like Michael Douglas, but it's my mom's kind of action star,
he's
not
my, mine. Yeah, right. He's my mom's action star.
Yeah. And so eventually, you know, growing up, getting older, I appreciate it now, but not then. No.
Yeah. I didn't even know when it hit. It was new to me this week in almost every way except for that VHS box. That was the only thing I recognized.
Mm. Yeah.
And I'm glad we saw it, but I will say, I think it's just overlong. Like this movie gets, when Andy Garcia gets his head cut off, spoiler, it's right dead center in the movie. And I noticed that because I lifted my mouse up and went, oh my gosh, we're only halfway. This feels like the end of this thing. Or at least maybe there should be 20 more minutes of revenge. But no, there's another hour and 10 minutes or something. And that's my only complaint. I think it just went too long. And his original cut was longer. It was like another 30 minutes. Mm. And he's known
for
that.
What are you doing? That's too long.
He's known for going long, right? And having director's cuts and all that stuff. It's kind of a Ridley Scott staple, but...
Homework.
This movie.
I could have used the Black Rain reference a little earlier in the film because I kept waiting for it.
Can we have a Trump alert?
Yeah, let's get it. Here it is. Whoops. There it is.
We'll loosely explain the title of your movie in one line and then throw it away, and it doesn't actually mean anything. Yeah. Later.
It just explains the bad guy's motives, but you could have just said you killed his puppy. I mean, it wouldn't matter.
Right.
It
was, yes.
It really didn't relate to anything.
It doesn't. You spend this whole movie wondering why is this called Black Rain? Why is this called Black Rain? Mm. Yeah. I did. That's how
I like, did. Yeah.
It was so like. Get a better name. You can get a better name.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can. You can get a better name.
Call it. I don't know. Call it Plates of Power, or I don't know. Anything's a
Plates
better
of Power.
The Plates
anything
of Power.
Is a better name.
Fake money. Rain. Yeah.
You know what? That's a great new MCU title for something. The Plates of
Plates
Power.
Plates of Power.
The Avengers Shang-Chi and the Plates
two,
of Power.
The Plates of Power.
There you go. You had the Rings of Ringage or whatever they were. What were they called?
Or feature Yakuza
the sequel
Rings
has to
of
be
Speakage.
Rings of Speakage, and then you do your Plates of Power after that.
The five Rings of Speakage.
Yeah, exactly.
But I can't think of any off the top of my head, but you guys know movies, right? Where in the middle of the movie, they have somebody who has not been a main character suddenly say, "No, the reason that we do all that we do is because of the Arrow of Destiny." And you're right. Exactly. Oh, Arrow of Destiny. That's the name of the movie.
We are never going to win these Star Wars.
These wars and the stars. You might call them Star Wars. I do love that. Real quick, if you had to guess, let's do a little quick. Nobody look this up and do a little trivia.
Okay. I'm not looking it up.
Which came first, Jewel of the Nile or Fatal Attraction?
Jewel of the Nile came first.
Okay, that's your Ibbit.
I would also say Jewel of the Nile, because I remember Romancing the Stone, early 80s. Jewel of the Nile felt like it came out just a couple years after that. And
the hint is you were absolutely right about the space between them. But Randy, do you have a thing? Whether it goes
I'm the same, though. I think Jewel of the Nile is just a couple years before Fatal Attraction.
Well, then I'm weird, because here's what happened. I was sure in my head Fatal Attraction was first, but you guys are all right. It's Jewel of the Nile, 85. 87 was Fatal Attraction. So there's that.
Jewel of the Nile, definitely my mama's film over what I would do.
You know what? That is probably what, that's a really good point. That's kind of what sealed the deal for Michael Douglas being, he's your parents' action star kind of thing.
Well, and between Fatal Attraction and this movie, Black Rain, Michael Douglas aged 10 years, and I would like to understand
happened. And not
all
only that.
All that Black Rain.
Not
rain.
Only that.
He didn't age. He's just prune-faced from being in the rain that long.
I don't think he had yet married his teenager wife. I think he was still...
Well, he had to wait until she was barely legal, and then they were good.
Yeah. That's right. This is before Catherine Zeta-Jones?
For some reason, I know for a fact.
No hate here.
I have known for a fact since they got married, because I remember watching it on tabloid TV that he is 25 years older than her, and they said it over and over. And he's 25 years old. It was 25 years his junior, Catherine, so many times.
Yeah,
and they're still together, right? We're good.
They're still doing it. Yeah, they're looking good and giving each other. Weird throat cancers and stuff, right?
HPV or whatever it is.
HPV.
Guys know way more about him than I do.
It's the Hewlett-Packard virus.
Oh no, I'm out of toner.
Oh shit! I should have subscribed. Look at this though. So this blew my mind. 87 was Wall Street and his character Gordon Gekko. Black Rain was 2 years later. I would have flipped those two. I would have said Wall Street was later.
Yeah,
yeah.
Sure. That would be a tough call. That those were close to, in my
or freaking
my mind.
War of the Roses was that same year as this movie.
He had a tremendous run, guys. Yeah, I don't think we give this guy enough credit.
Yeah,
and that's the reason why I remember, because if you really look at how many movies he's had, not nearly as many as a lot of our people we review here on the Film Sack. Mm-hmm. But that little run he had during the 80s, pretty massive.
And he was on he was in that Traffic movie with Luis Guzman again. They hung out again. Yeah, that was cool. I must have loved that.
You must have loved that.
Must have loved that business.
Oh, I get to finally hear your real voice.
Anybody have any idea what this would be?
Gross.
What do you think?
The only thing I wrote down was the end fight in the mud with blood and mud, and definitely some of that got into their mouths.
You were close. It's on my list. It's maybe third, though. But good call. Dunaway, any guesses?
When Michael Douglas is licking the meat popsicles in the thing.
He didn't lick those, did he?
He's just like,
What?
No, he didn't.
Didn't see that?
No.
Oh, must have had a director's cut.
Yeah, that was a director's cut thing. How foul would that be? Licking frozen meat in a meat hanging thing.
I haven't had anything to eat all day.
That's foul. Randy, anything?
Protein.
Anything jump out at you, Randy, you think might have grossed me out?
I the whole thing around, now that you cut off your little finger, there were so many, like, I have questions. Why did this guy not pass out? If he's going to stay conscious, how is he not rolling around on the floor in pain? You know, like, this is this is severe pain that he's just giving himself.
This was in something else recently, this exact same, because it must be a stereotype of Yakuza penance.
The cutting off your finger thing?
Yeah.
This is our way, I believe he said.
Yeah. Our way. I think that is a thing. It's like an actual, based on a real thing. So I saw something recently.
I can tell you, just from having a hangnail, there's no way I could cut my thumb off.
Oh, hell no.
I'm too
hell
weak.
No. I could do my pinky if my kids are in danger or something, or they said, we're going to kill your family, take off your pinky. I'd do that because
I'm going to miss my kids.
I don't use pinkies anyway. What are you doing?
I'm writing this down for Taskmaster 2024.
This is a great idea. All right. I'll tell you what was gross.
Yeah.
They pulled a wet sock and some money out of a guy's mouth.
Oh, yeah.
That grossed me out because, A, it's a practical effect, and that's gross. Even though he's supposed to be dead, it's not a dummy or whatever. They're pulling a big wet sock out of a dude's
mouth.
Was
it the money or the wet sock that
bothered both.
You?
It's both.
Okay, both.
Yeah, the concept of some dirty sock in your mouth and then also dirty freaking stripper money in your mouth, gross.
Oh, well, and that money, it was like a magician thing, right? Because he pulls it out, and then they cut away, and then they look back, and he's holding it, you know, fully unfolded, unwadded up.
Yeah,
and
it looks like it was in his mouth.
Fresh out of the mint. That thing is smooth as a baby.
That was supposed
to be. Lot of dollars, not a lot of yen paper money in this movie, I noticed.
Yeah.
That's because this was about the counterfeit American money.
Yeah, but why would you use your counterfeit money? Was that part of the message to say,
that was the message. You took our plates, bitch. All give it back.
Give us back our plates. I see.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, that grossed me out pretty bad.
It was pretty gross. Yeah. I mean, it was just like that. I forgot about that scene. Mm-hmm. Like, it grossed me out so much that I put it away.
The two stereotypes I didn't like. I mean, basically the thing sums itself up as Americans are swagger, Japanese are uptight. That's kind of the idea. But, the idea that everyone from America is 100% foreign to using chopsticks at all that seems ridiculous. Now, I grew up in
these things.
He gets it almost up to his mouth and then he drops it. It's like, all right, come on now.
I grew up in a household, so I'll admit a little bias here, with three Korean siblings who all were experts from the homeland on how to use chopsticks. And so I learned then, but it just, I never met any other Americans who were just that dopey with chopsticks.
Let me tell you something. I still can't use chopsticks.
Well, that's because you're in the South.
I can't figure it out. People show me
plastic hinge thing.
I don't know what it is. No, I don't do that.
Brian, like, those are the that's the clip.
Fork.
That's the clip on.
I'm an idiot.
It's the clip on tie of eating utensils.
It really is. We had to keep one in our in Tina's purse for whenever we went out, because like Tristan loved sushi at an early age. Like loved it. And so but he had a real hard time with chopsticks earlier.
I've had people show me. I'm like, hey, you do it like this, and here's a little simple trick. Here's a little simple. But it's kind of like
as that lady teaches Michael Douglas. No, here, you put this here and put this here. And
expert.
Instantly, he's an expert. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I'm an idiot.
I'm not going to say it's the South, but I'll say it's the South. It's fine.
He
had to become an expert. He's in Japan. Like, that's the thing. Brian Dunaway isn't served Japanese food every day of his life and only given chopsticks.
They try.
If you were, you would learn very quickly.
But even as a cop in New York, there's lots of Chinese restaurants in New York.
Sure. Right.
But I guess they'll always provide you forks. Speaking of eating habits, any of the three of you ever at Italian restaurants just take your napkin, tuck it into your neck?
No.
Like,
ever.
I see that much in,
how uncomfortable.
In movies and TV
that.
Shows.
I've tried that before because I'm curious because I'm like, oh, I see this in movies all the time. Let me give it a try.
Yeah, I don't actually know what it's supposed to be doing because I don't spill up there. It's not up there that I spill.
Like with Italian food and you slurp your noodles and stuff like slurp my butt, slurp your noodles, it's supposed to keep the marinara sauce from getting on your shirt. But
I feel like it's
if you're just a good eater.
Yeah. Like, we had Italian in Vegas last week, you and I, and it was some of it was sloppy noodles and it was red sauce and all that. I
didn't
was
have any problem
noodles.
Eating it without getting all over me.
I didn't have to stuff anything in my shirt.
With that being said, I have a friend who spills food on himself constantly. He just can't stop it.
I do
it's
too.
It's hilarious.
I do it too, but not in restaurants. Isn't that weird? I'll do it everywhere but a restaurant. Yeah. Like, I'll be, I don't know, just walking through the house and I'll go, where did this ketchup come from?
Yeah,
I had fun last night. I'm happy to tell you, not a drop outside the bowl.
Oh, that sounds good. Was it the good stuff where you put the meat in there? It cooks in the hot broth.
The meat, and then you tear up the little cilantro and the basil, the jalapenos, freshly sliced jalapenos.
Give me every detail.
That sounds so good. Yeah, keep going.
Little hoisin sauce.
Yeah, hoisin. Yeah. You know what I like about those I really like sprouts. You know, they're good in that context. But because when I was about 10, there was a big freak out. I don't know if this is nationwide or just local, but there was a big freak out about all the sprouts that were in every store were tainted. There was some giant recall.
Sprout taint.
I still can't do sprouts.
Oh, really? For that reason?
Yeah. It ruined me for sprouts. Like, really? I don't trust sprouts.
I think that's
I never
I
really
at.
Liked them anyway.
Yeah. They're not
know,
worth, they're not worth
the
risk.
Sprouts,
they're not worth the risk.
It's a real word.
No, you're totally right. Yeah. They're not worth the risk. Like,
they are is texture and no flavor. It's like you put them in a sandwich. All right, fine. Just give me lettuce.
You're totally right. And so I always err on the side of, I don't need them. And it's mostly because of that big recall. I just remember thinking, I don't want to die from sprouts. Forget it.
Yeah. We were scared away by big sprouts.
I must have been out of the country or something. And I missed that
I know
scandal.
Nothing.
You missed the whole
know
thing.
About
oh,
the,
really?
Yeah. I know nothing about the late 80s sprout fiasco.
It was bad. It was bad. Well, it would have been more like.
Do you put sprouts in your pho? Randy,
all
speaking
time,
of every detail, will you now?
I like that touch. I like that texture.
You
know.
Yeah, you. It's a lot of people do. My brother loves sprouts and all the food he makes. Texture, like sprouts are cool. Yeah. It's just they're not cool enough to warrant the thing. You
to
always
die?
Hear about them going bad. You always hear about those going because I think they're weird the way they're stored. They get a lot of moisture. They just sort of sits. Like, I think they can just get bacteria shit going on that other stuff doesn't. So,
By the same token, I love bamboo shoots. Bamboo shoots.
Those are okay.
Oh, really?
You people are
too chewy. Like, too stringy, chewy.
Yeah.
You people.
They taste. When we get Thai food, like that soup, that tom yum stuff, I have to take the shoots out. I don't like the shoots.
Yeah. Exactly. It's like, it's like pulling the, the basil leaves out of your chili or whatever. Right. It's.
Yeah,
the first thing you do.
Bamboo
don't
shoots.
Eat this. Boom.
Yeah, because it's basically wood. You're making me eat wood. Yeah. I don't want to eat wood. You know who eats wood? Freaking pandas do. Go have all the bamboo shoots you want.
Sometimes you got to forget your head and grab your balls, Scott.
Yeah, that's right. That's. Thank you for bringing us back.
You know what? Scott, every single time you've ever had cinnamon, you ate wood.
That's true. I did. Yeah. I ate a fine granular version of wood.
Yeah,
a very flavorful version of wood, though.
It is. It's kind of shocking.
This wood is spicy.
Yeah,
spicy wood.
Put the spicy in the wood. That could go places. All right. Let us, do you want to do clips unless you guys have anything else?
Yes.
All right.
There are clips?
Yeah, there are clips. I brung clips, and here they are. Let's play them. We'll start with this one. This is, What is this? Oh, it's talking about shoes. Here's an early thing about shoes.
Hope somebody's paying you to wear that goddamn suit.
Almost.
Nope, that was about the suit. Sorry. That was some ADR about the suit. Here's the shoes.
Ladies of the 80s are going for shoes. Yeah? Where'd you hear that? I read it in a magazine.
I love Andy Garcia's delivery of that. Yeah. Like, yeah.
Ladies of the 80s. I like that, too.
Yeah, I love ladies of the 80s. That is such a great term. We won't see that again until 2080. Yeah. Sorry, people.
That's true. Right. Sorry, everyone.
We won't see that ever again.
Yeah, right. We're done. Our 80s, done. We'll never have another 80s, the four of us. Here is Stephen Root doing his thing.
28 June, 88. Your unit arrested three suspects. Cash was logged in at 65,000 and change. We have reason to believe there was over 73,000 in the vehicle you impounded.
And at this point, he is still 17. Wow. He's 17 years from Bill Dotrieve. It's weird to think of.
That's crazy. Yeah. And there's just a tiny bit of the voice that we'll love in there. Like,
yeah. Yep. Yep. Hard to believe that dude would be
news,
so good.
Radio
Barry and freaking, he's just good in there. Name a thing he's bad in, it's literally impossible.
You can't do it. Can't do it.
He's in every cool thing I ever liked. Yeah. And also, all of True Blood, I truly believe this, the show True Blood, the entirety of that show, for me, hinges on that one season where he played that one dude.
Right, the guy that's being drained in the basement, basically.
He's so good in it that it made everything else seem bad after that. Just so fantastic.
Yeah. Here's how I rank True Blood. Season one, really good. Yeah. Season two, even better.
Yeah.
And then you stop. It's a seven-season show that you really only need to watch the first two seasons.
I agree.
I stopped after season two or three or something.
Yeah. I kept going after two, but it got bad and kind of bummed because it had potential. Mm-hmm. Here's a weird thing to say.
King-size nut.
King-size nut.
Yeah. King-size nut.
Yeah.
So we could make a porn joke here or continue.
Yeah, we could continue. How about this one? There's more porn, though.
Well, if you got a beef, all you got to do is talking to my left titty.
Yeah, talking to my left titty.
Sometimes
he was very Italian in his delivery.
Which is funny because he's a...
Or Cuban or whatever.
Well, he is Cuban. But he always plays these Italian mobster types.
Yeah.
And almost everything he's in, it's rarely ever a Cuban role for him.
It's because of the hair, I think.
Yeah.
What's the one where
he has good hair?
What was the one where there was that plane crash?
All right, I'm back in. I'm given the age is not an issue anymore. I'm back in.
Okay, look at you going after the granny. I like it. Okay. This is good.
Grandpa, come on. Grandpa.
Sorry. But what's the deal with what was the movie where there was a plane crash and he survived it and walked around up?
Hero.
That was pretty good.
John Bubber. Yeah, that was a good one with Dustin Hoffman and Gina Davis.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember liking that.
And basically, Dustin Hoffman's the dude who actually saved everybody's life, but they don't like him because he's such a shit.
Yeah.
They decide to put everything on someone they can market, and so they find this homeless guy, Andy Garcia.
Yeah, that was an interesting film.
It was actually a really good movie. I think about that every once in a while.
Yeah. All right, here's
I feel bad because my favorite Andy Garcia performance is in Beverly Hills Chihuahua.
You really should feel bad, actually. Yeah,
in that movie, by the way. Just to let you know.
Yeah, you 100% should feel bad. Another
he's
wrong
so
film.
So good in that movie.
Yeah. I don't doubt it. He's great in everything. All right, here's a good cop conversation.
You know Ronan, right?
Ronan?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know Ronan.
Good cop.
Yeah, he's a good cop.
He's a good cop.
He is a good cop.
All right.
Yeah, there you go.
I think we're agreeing here. We agree
encapsulated
here?
In one piece of audio that is like that is as.
Yep.
And I want you to be clear: you did not edit that. You didn't add the phrase "good cop."
No. All I did was play it the way it was. The only thing I did is I cut out some. There was a big pause between one of them. Yeah. It just was like too long, so I took that out. But other than that, same. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty funny. Yakuza made a sound. That's a Yakuza guy. That sound. I like that sound. That's right before Michael Douglas sucker punched him in the plane.
That
was good. Here's a... Why is this in here? Oh, I put my bleep in here. I didn't mean to.
Oh, nice.
Here's
one of the characters saying a bad word.
One word.
I guess this next one does have a bleep. That's why. Here you go.
And I do speak English.
Oh, and he says he does speak effing English. He's great. That guy. What a stud. Who's our guy now like that? I think Ken Watanabe, probably.
Yeah, by far. Yeah, he's the
Love him.
Although he's aging out, and it's making me really sad because
he's getting old.
Like around the time of Inception, he was on top of the world.
Yep. Last Samurai, very good in that. Just great. What's this? No one says this anymore, so I'll play it.
What do I look like, chopped liver?
No one says that.
Nobody says that.
I'm not even sure they were saying it in 89. You know, that feels like a stretch.
My mom's action hero.
Yeah, you're right.
You ever, my mom ever probably have chopped liver?
Chopped
liver?
You know what's worse than liver? Chopped liver.
Yeah.
I hate liver.
What's your take on liver mush?
Liver mush? What the hell's that?
Like liverwurst? Is that like liverwurst?
It's so good.
What is it? Like mushed up like a
I don't know. My grandpa used to eat it and he'd say, "Hey, you want some liver mush?" And I'm like, Yeah.
How would he eat it? Like on a sandwich?
It's a southern United States pork food product prepared using pig liver, parts of pig heads, cornmeal, and spices. I would have never eaten it.
Yeah, but what do you put it? Like what David said.
You don't put it on anything. You just fry it up and you nom 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 nom.
Wow. I'm going to say no to that. I'm going to say no.
Yeah, hard pass.
Yeah, hard pass. It'll be a hard pass later.
I can't wait to see it. You guys take stuff on TMS still. I'm sending it in.
All right. Okay. We'll do it.
All right. We'll eat some liver mush. I doubt that's the actual brand name, too.
Yeah.
Their brand? I don't know. But it just says, okay.
You have to make your own liver mush? Do you get a liver and then you mush it?
I don't know, but my grandpa ate a lot of canned and potted meats.
That's so bad. Oh, my gosh.
How long did your grandpa live? What was his expiration?
150. He lived to he fell off a ladder and he had a brain hemorrhage. Died at like 50.
Oh, geez,
gosh,
or something like that.
I was hoping he'd say like 95 and the liver mush.
We don't know what killed him, but it was definitely the fall.
It wasn't the liver mush. All right, it
wasn't the liver mush.
All right. Here's something about getting kissed first.
I usually get kissed before I get.
Oh, geez.
Hello. Usually though, but not always.
Hello, man. Your mother's action hero, eh? How'd you get the blood?
Still didn't tell me how you got the blood.
The blood. How'd you get that blood? Here's a Japan cop. All right, that's cool.
What'd he say? I love that.
He sounds like the video game with the bandit Crash Bandicoot's the mask that came up and told you stuff.
I have no.
Oops, that's not it. Hold on.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah, it sounds like that. Look at this. This was Brian at the end of prom.
Oh, I sure hope this is the clip I'm hoping it is.
It might not be. I don't know. Because that kiss me before you F me one, you know, I thought about it, but no.
Yeah, no. There's one I thought was a better poll, so.
I went with this. Let's see if it's what you picked.
I have no more to do with you. Please get out.
It may not have been it.
In case I was not clear.
Yeah. Get out of my car.
You know, she'd had enough. Yeah. And we hadn't even really finished dinner yet. We hadn't even made it to prom.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. Yeah. Rough night. Yeah. Rough night.
It is.
What was the one you were thinking? Was it different?
If you pull it, you better use it.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, that's right. If you pull it, you better use it. That was a great line.
Missed opportunity. I feel bad for missing.
That's all right. That's all right. That was a good one, too.
All right. Here's angry acting time.
Music and movies are all America is good for, right? We make the machines. We build the future. We want the peace.
And if there was one of you guys who had an original idea, you'd be so tight, you couldn't even pull it out of your ass.
Man.
Wow.
Calm down.
Some angry acting at a club.
And he sounds like grandpa there. Like, he sounds so old.
I know. That's what I'm saying. All his, and calling everyone babe. Stop. Stop.
Okay. I came around back and forth. I was like a pendulum on that. The first time I was like, oh, that's cool. And then the second time, no, stop it.
Quit calling other men
babe. I came
back
around. I'm like, okay, all right, I understand. This is just their banter.
I don't even like calling women babe, but when you call other men babe, it's just so, hey, babe.
But what if you say, babe?
Bubby, Hans.
Yeah, yes.
Yeah.
It's that guy, or it's Sammy Davis Jr. or something.
That's the only way I can do it. Sammy Davis Jr. is the only person who said babe.
The only one that can get, and Telly Savalas.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty much any of the Rat Pack can get away with anything they want.
Who loves you, babe?
Yeah, who loves you? All right, here's a good time.
It's good time, Mas.
Yeah, good time, Mas.
Good time, Mas. Good Come time. On, time to karaoke.
Here's another one.
Bells will ring, ding-a-ding-a-ding, ding-a-ding-a-ding, and you'll sing me Sabella.
Ding-a-ring-a-ring. Nice job.
You can't. Can you even make a movie in the 80s without...
No.
Nope.
Having somebody Japanese speaking
doing
some English.
Doing karaoke as a joke and breaking. Wow. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. Remember and when we all saw Christmas Story when we were younger and we all thought it was hilarious when they sang Jingle Bell. No,
in the restaurant. Yeah, when they're having Christmas dinner.
And they do the same thing and it's all terrible and you're just like hilarious. And then you grow up and you realize, oh, that's offensive to some people. What are we doing?
I need the Trump alert too.
Oh, can I give you that? Because I've got it right here. Here it is.
Man, when you need a tight three-piece jazz band to play a specific song, they're there for you. They're ready to go.
Yeah. No kidding. And Ray Charles, what I say is not like an easy, Marty teaching the folks at the Enchantment Under the Sea dance how to play Johnny
Your kids
Good.
Are going
to
love it.
Yeah, exactly. Also on this scene, though, I now know that it predates Tommy Boy by about 8 years, nine years.
Good Lord.
And Tommy Boy has a karaoke version of that song with, both of, what's his name? The guy who plays
Chris Farley?
Old man who
Denny? Oh. Brian Dennehy?
Brian, Brian Dennehy and Chris Farley sing that.
Oh, right.
That's exact song together.
That's insane. Awesome. It's insane is what I'm trying to say. How much a 10 years can make in the from 80s to 90s is so drastic to me. But whereas like 2010s to 2020s, it's not so drastic. It's kind of all the same, you know? I don't know. It's weird. It's weird the jumps we made in entertainment and like what... I don't know what we thought was what. Because if you put Tommy Boy next to this, you'd say, no, these were made 100 years apart. But no, they're made like 7 years apart. That's weird. Here are the singing together. I think our Japanese guys have...
You could have done a little date night clip there.
Yeah. You're not right. Wrong. Here's Garcia.
You're not right.
You're not right. Wrong. Garcia made a grunt. Yeah, an ADR grunt. I like those. They do them in post. Yeah, well done. You won't be making that sound soon. Soon the samurai sword comes out. There's Brian's favorite line.
Sometimes you got to forget your head and grab your balls.
Yeah, that's a Dunaway favorite.
A good one.
Yeah.
Here's a New York. This is a New York comment.
New York is one big gray area, okay?
Yeah, see, New York. We don't know what's going on in New York. Okay, this is the guy with the voice. This is the guy I was talking about earlier, the boss of the Yakuza people, and his voice was something.
You should be somewhere over the Pacific now, Conklin. We should be rid of you. Do you have any idea who I am?
I swear that's some white dude doing it.
Okay,
here.
Poor man, Darth Vader.
Yeah.
I love it.
Even a little more Kylo Ren.
There you go. Yeah, exactly. It's Kylo Ren. Yeah.
We'll finish what we started. Yeah, to me, that dude, that's no way that was a real Japanese guy in ADR. That's some white guy. I'm almost sure of it.
Some white guy.
No one wants to admit it.
Doing this voice.
Yeah, doing that voice. Yeah.
Cookie Monster? Okay.
Yep.
Sign me up.
Here he is saying the name of the movie.
Black Rain.
Yeah, Black Rain.
Yeah, that is definitely Kylo Ren.
Right. Also, Ibbitt, you may be able to tell me who this is. I'm not sure I want to know, but this is shit.
I have lived my life my way.
Yeah. You know who that is?
That's Greg Allman of the Allman Brothers, previous Paramore to Cher, and really phoning in his best. Hey, could you give us something halfway between Bob Seger and Bruce Springsteen, please? Yeah, thanks.
It's rough.
I'll work on it.
Yeah, it's rough. I don't love it. That ruined it for me, the whole movie. Yeah. All right, but that's all done now, so now it's this. Time for the Film Sack checklist. Lots of late 80s Japanese stereotypes. Check. That's in there. Never fight a guy with a sword with your wet coat. Check.
Oof.
And finally, you don't really need your pinky anyway, right? Check. Star Trek connections got to be one or two. Come on now.
It's almost too many.
Really?
Oh, wow.
Okay.
Yeah, so we have some small ones. Actor named Chris Nelson Norris, who was cast as motorcyclist, was in an episode of Deep Space Nine. An actor named Keanu Young was cast as karaoke singer. I would imagine that was the person who was butchering the song at first. Yeah. Keanu Young was in an episode of Deep Space Nine and an episode of Enterprise. Our big three are Stephen Root, who was Captain Cavada in an episode of The Next Generation, Tim Kelleher, who was Bobby in this movie, was in three different Star Trek episodes. He was in an episode of The Next Generation, an episode of Voyager, and an episode of Enterprise. Apparently, you can just, you know, you just got to play aliens and you can just be all these different people. Yep. And of course, our big winner this week is Richard Reel. His name was Crown in this movie. And kind of a, every one of these is kind of a blink and you'll miss him performance. But in The Next Generation, he was Bataille in a very well-remembered episode. And he was also in an episode of Voyager and an episode of Enterprise. Once again, because you can do that, I guess.
Damn. These guys were all up in the track. This is impressive.
I heard the English as well, Carville.
I heard Randy really quickly say episode.
Episode.
Yeah. Too. Like I said, episode, he couldn't help episode. It was the English.
It's like the end of that Snoop Dogg song where they say episode, Dr. Dre, or Dre says yep. episode.
The next episode.
Episode.
My favorite will always be that somehow the super band Oasis got out of the studio and put out a song where they very clearly sing Champagne Supernova.
Supernova. Yeah.
Supernova.
Sounded right to me.
Champagne Supernova.
Yep. Champagne Supernova.
Yep. It's a great song, though.
I used to drive a Nova.
I know a lot.
Really?
The Chevy Nova.
Yeah.
Yep.
Wasn't it?
No, it wasn't Chevy. It was like, who was the other people that always made Chevy-like stuff? What was that?
Chevy did make a Nova, but somebody made a...
Yeah. I know. I was serious about the Chevy Nova.
Yeah. Can't remember the other one. Anyway, well done.
Doesn't go.
Yeah, it doesn't go. Yeah. Make it go. All right. Well, there's that soundtrack grading. You're old and new and okay. It's fine. It had a little bit of this is a very early Hans Zimmer joint, and it's a little synthy, but it's okay. Mm-hmm. And they would go on to work together in lots of stuff since then, and you know, good relationship. I swear, Hans Zimmer has this like thing with certain directors. Right now, his love affairs with Denise Villeneuve.
Mm, yeah, but, it was previously Christopher Nolan.
Yeah, Nolan all the time. Nolan still with Nolan. He did. I think Oppenheimer is going to be him. But then, you know, lots of Black Hawk Down's probably my favorite of their collaborations with Ridley Scott, which I recently watched again, by the way. And dude, Black Hawk Down is badass mother effing movie. It is so good. So good.
I agree.
All right.
I'm amazed at how Hans Zimmer keeps topping himself, like mm-hmm. after his, what should have been his peak, right? Mm-hmm. Like his peak could have been Gladiator, but no, like. At least five of his greatest scores have come since.
Just gets better and better. Dune Part One's my favorite soundtrack of the last few years. I freaking love it.
Can't yeah, Dunkirk was amazing. Yeah, Dunkirk was good. Yeah. Listen to that movie.
Yep. Very good stuff. All right. Let's move on to the Twitter post. This is where you guys sum it up in 280 characters or less. Or maybe it's the Blue Sky post. I don't know. Let's start this time with Randy.
Black Rain. A man who rides motorcycles, a man who likes to sing, a man who likes to play with wooden swords, a man who's missing a finger, a man who has only one plate of a two-plate set, some men pretending to be rice farmers, some other men who ride motorcycles, and exactly one woman.
Yep.
Just like a Saturday Night episode.
Ah, see, there it is. Boy, we just talked about this during the week, didn't we? Just talk about this at dinner the other night?
Do you picture that? Like, as I'm saying, like, do you picture this one woman, Kate Capshaw? Yeah. And, like, so many men. Yeah. It's just like there's this image in
well,
my
they
head
had the one other her. Lady that they followed everywhere, right? She was in there, whoever that was. Remember?
Oh yeah,
yeah. She, they didn't really. That felt a little chicken the buckety by the
a
end.
A little bit, right?
Like, that wasn't Kate Capshaw.
No,
I have no idea.
Separate
have,
like,
no. His whole family woman. His whole family was a chicken in the bucket. One minute you see him riding off the bike with one of his kids. Next minute, never hear him
never
again.
Never. You're right.
No call home. No yeah. nothing.
You're right.
Nothing. All right.
Grab a bucket.
We didn't. I don't think we gave that the credit.
Kids deserved. In the bucket.
Yeah, kids in the bucket.
Kids in the bucket. A KFC family bucket.
Yeah.
Look at the cast list and count the men before you get to the second woman. It's insane.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the way of it. All right, let's get to the alternate titles. These were just
perfect. Just list to skip.
Yeah, that's just Brian Hibbett.
Yeah.
Oh, did I skip you guys? Shit, I'm a dumbass. Let's start
it's spreading.
No, it's not very good, so we could.
it just used to skip Hibbett, but now it's back.
Now
up all
back
the way
to you.
Me,
so. Eventually, I'll skip everybody.
Both Brian.
Yeah, you guys don't. Are you guys aren't noticing my subtle removal of a segment?
I know. I love it. I love it. Keep pulling it out.
Slowly eroding it away. All right, let's go to Dunaway now.
Mine wasn't good either, so let's okay, do it. Okay. Black Rain, summed up in two quotes. Sometimes you got to forget your head and grab your balls, and if you pull it, you better use it. Hashtag no thumbs to up.
No thumbs to up.
No thumbs to up.
That's great.
Made it so much better.
Yeah, that was really good. All right, Ibbett, your turn.
Mine's half as good as Dunaway's because I only used one of those. The Black Rain Blu-ray Special Edition. If you pull it, you'd better watch Blade Runner instead.
Oh, that's actually good advice. I recommend it.
Hashtag still no thumbs up.
More PSA.
I hate to go back to our very first discussion, but is Blade Runner now like not in Ridley Scott's top three?
Oh, it should be. I think
it forever, is in mine.
It forever will
it's in
be
my
in
top
mine.
Three.
Yeah, it's in my top three. I mean, it's hard though. There's so many good movies. I would probably go Alien, Gladiator. Oh, but I'd
See what I mean?
Yeah, it gets hard. He's really good. He's really good. I love his work.
Alien, Blade Runner, Gladiator.
Done. I have a great a coffee table book all about his career. Highly recommend it. I wish I knew the name of it, but it's something Ridley Scott, and it's very good, and they have these amazing multi-page shots of the miniatures that were LA for flying over them during the Vangelis music and all that for Blade Runner. Amazing stuff. Oh, I love it so much.
With the fire coming out of the tops of some of them and stuff.
Some of it was built for Alien, and they used it for this, and so cool. Yeah. Love that stuff. All right, let's move on. Now that we've done that properly, let's move on to these alternate titles. It was almost called Fatal Distraction. Interesting. Or Romancing the Darker Tone.
Okay.
That's also good.
Terrible. Let's do an email. We got an email from a listener. This is Chris, who wrote into filmsack@gmail.com, and he said the following. The Last Starfighter, I don't know if any of you have sacked this movie or the NES game, but could you do both? I doubt we'll do the game. Maybe we will on Play Retro. Who knows?
Yeah.
Anyway, he says, I played the Jaws game on the NES. You had to marathon that sucker. Then when you won the game just ends. I don't know if there were any credits. Were there any weapons in that game? I had the tracker. Also, this guy might be on weed while he's writing this. I thought you had to write
mushrooms.
I thought you had to fight tougher and tougher sharks and end up fighting Jaws at the end. You just fight one orca. I have scars, and I think I still have Mario Brothers' first level screen burn, Chris. That's a fun one. To his point, though, The Last Starfighter, I didn't know they had a NES game, but moreover, we still have not gotten to that movie, right?
We didn't watch that, I could have swore, but I'm not going to.
Let's look.
I love that movie, though. I watch it occasionally.
I love Last
Nowhere Starfighter. Streaming currently, though, unfortunately.
Yeah, we've never done it.
Yeah.
Which is unfortunate because that movie is great, old. It fits every criteria that we have here.
Yeah. And it's from 1984, a year that was fantastic for for movies.
I love that movie. I really
do. I really want to find out if I love it as much as I used to when I was a kid.
It's been a bit for me, but man, at the time. Plus, it was the first use of these like 3D graphics nobody had seen, really. I mean, there was some of that in Tron, but it was really impressive for the time. And I remember just thinking, what a cool idea. A video game is a training device to send you into space and fight for the real armada against the evil whatevers. And it had kind of a Spielberg vibe to it, even though it wasn't a Spielberg film, although he may have had some production credit. I don't remember.
Yeah, like you won't know anybody except the bit role for Will Wheaton.
Yeah. Little tiny role for him. And was he the little brother that was hoarding Playboys or something? It was some kid like that, like a little brother had a bunch of dirty magazines.
That seemed like every one of them, right?
That's all the 80s.
Every move of that era.
Yeah. Every little brother had porn. That's the way it worked. Well, Chris, we will certainly consider it. And also, how do you feel now that you've come down from your high? Okay, moving on to this right here. This is a couple of texts from our text line, 801-471-0462. This is from an anonymous listener who says, hey, everyone, I have a movie to recommend. Flight of the A6 Intruders. Says, basically, it's a really good idea, but a horrible movie. And I watched it when I was five. My dad showed it to me because I love fighter planes. Don't remember what actors were in the movie, but it's super cheesy and even more sackable. I've never heard of Flight of the A6 Intruders.
Can we drop A6 and call it Flight of the Intruder? Flight of the Intruder?
Well, it's a different. Is it a different movie than Flight of the Intruder?
Don't.
Maybe he accidentally typed in A6 or something.
Oh, he might have. It definitely says
That's
A6 in here.
That's funny now. See, that makes sense. Yeah, Flight of the Intruder.
You know, and I don't know how many of these texts I get that are voice dictated, so there's probably typos. So I don't know what that is. Flight of the A6 Intruders. That doesn't sound like anything I've heard of. So.
Well, oh, because it does talk about A6. Yeah, the Grundman A6 Intruder pilot, Steven Kuntz.
And is that the name of the movie, though?
It's just called Flight of the Intruder, but it does involve A6s, so it's got to be the same thing.
Fucking Danny Glover, Willem Dafoe. Yeah, like I want to sack
Rosanna Arquette, Tom Sizemore.
Tom Sizemore?
Another movie not streaming anywhere.
He's the reason I watched Black Hawk Down again after he died. I went, what's my favorite thing he did? And I think that was it, and I went and watched it.
Yeah.
Also, Ving Rhames? We got to keep an eye out for this guy.
Yeah, yeah.
This guy right here.
Fred Thompson. Got to have Fred Thompson.
Always.
It was already on my watch list. So was Last Starfighter, by the way. Like, my watch list is, I'm ahead of you guys.
Yeah. Watch list ahoy is what we say.
Yes, sir.
Here's one from Jason.
See, Last Starfighter is one that I could have sworn we'd done already. Wow.
I know we've talked about it, but I don't think, I had to look it up to make sure. We all did, I think. We all ran to filmsack.ly quicksack.ly. Yeah. Big thanks again to Bombats for that. Let's talk about Jason Free Rangers, a.k.a. Free Rangers text. He says, hey, FilmSack crew, what are your thoughts on sacking the 2020 movie Babylon? It's streaming on Paramount Plus. It's basically if Singing in the Rain and Once Upon a Time in Hollywood had a cocaine-fueled party and the result is Babylon. To further pique your interest, within the first 10 minutes of the movie, an elephant takes a giant shit right into the camera. He seems to think this is a selling point. 2022 movie called Babylon.
Oh, so it is a new one. Okay.
You just got to start with what Chris got out the most. Yeah, that's the leading edge.
Get it out while you can, and then let me watch the rest of the movie. But yeah, so I've never heard of this.
I watched this in the run up to the Oscars, and it has a really good score. I didn't enjoy the movie.
Yeah, this is the one with the Margot Robbie and, like a big cast. It's supposed to look like a Baz Luhrmann film, but it isn't, right?
Yeah,
no, Gene Smart. It's made by Damien Chazelle.
Yeah. Brad Pitt, Gene Smart, Olivia Wilde, Jimmy Ortega.
Damien Chazelle is, on fire.
Yeah.
Seriously, just watch any movie this guy's made in the last 10 years.
Ooh, Flea's in this. Fire. This Flea features in this film. Flea.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Flea.
Yeah. You know, he's a wiener out at Woodstock. And now he's in a movie. I don't know much about this. It's reviewed well, rated high.
It looks like it's. I saw the trailer and it looks like a beautiful film, but is it sackable?
I don't know. Why is there a picture of Tobey Maguire, but he's not in the trailer?
He's in it. Credits. Yeah. I remember seeing him in the trailer.
Okay, must be smaller than this credit list. Weird. I wouldn't turn this down. This sounds all right.
I wouldn't kick this out of the film sack bid.
It's got that guy from. hold on, it's got that dude I like from the Handmaid's Tale. He's also not showing up in the credits. I really like him.
Is he the bad guy in Handmaid's Tale? Mm-hmm.
No, he's the good guy on the inside, the young guy that she has the baby with. Yeah.
Yep.
I like that dude a lot. Social Network he was in. He's great. Anyway, we'll see, everybody. We'll see. Will Babylon make it into the list? You'll have to wait and see, Free Rangers. You'll have to wait and see.
Yeah.
Real quick, I would like to mention some new folks who joined us in the last week since we spoke last. And boy, this is great. Seeing a bunch of fresh names in our Patreon does our hearts good. John Baker, Mary Robillard, Swanee 82. That's cool.
Swanee.
Tony Trickster, TR Highlight or Highlands rather, Brian K Animation. That's cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Jose A Perez, Micah Baker, and who else? Oh, Kevin Arrow. Love that name. And Tom Newman all joined us since we last spoke. Yeah, which is great. You'll never get commercials or ads as a patron. You'll get pre-show content every single week, monthly bonus episodes, one coming from Dunaway very soon. You're new. You're
from away.
You are next one, right? We talked about that earlier.
I am correct. Yeah. I am the next. We talked about a pre-show, and I am doing a a comparative or a look back at the earlier 2000s Dungeons and Dragons, as well as the new one, Honor Among Thieves.
So nice. Excited about that.
What we got right, what we got wrong.
Yeah. The early one had, or the early 2000s one had Tom Hanks in it, right? Am I remember that right?
Yeah, nope, correct. That's got it. A different nailed thing. It.
What is oh, that? Really?
No.
No, that was
of course
the,
not.
Was
you're thinking, you're thinking of
mazes and monsters.
Yeah, you're thinking about mazes and monsters.
All
yeah.
I can think of from that movie, because I watched it, and it's Tom Hanks going, "There's blood on my knife,"
and is what helped spark the satanic panic of D&D fervor, right?
Yeah. There's Thanks blood lot, on Tom my Hanks. Knife. It's like there's a snake in my boots. It may as well be the same line.
Right.
Anyway, we would love to have you in there. You also get art in the mail from me. Other cool benefits. Just got to read about them. Go check them out.
Get farts in the mail too?
Yeah, you get farts.
Sure.
Yeah, sure. And I found out this particular Patreon lets us upload short videos that only will show up there, so we don't have to hide them on YouTube or something. So if we ever do any kind of like, you know, quick video content, we'll put them up there as well. All that and yours, oh no, all that and more can be yours if you go now to patreon.com/filmsack and sign up today. Our next movie will be, oh, I didn't write it down. What is our next movie?
Oh, we're watching Cocaine Bear, guys. Oh. Don't forget Cocaine Bear.
Yeah.
So soon after I've seen Cocaine Bear.
Yeah. You might be able to really? write some retro notes about Aww. What you remember. You know?
No, I'm gonna watch it again. I can't not do you know a quick watch.
Can't you
but
not
it'll be
can?
A watch where I can, what's that?
Can you not can? Yes, you can, Cocaine Bear.
Yes, you can. Yes, you can.
And it's going to be episode 600, my friend.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, Cocaine Bear. Fancy.
600.
We haven't done one of those since 500.
Are there any movies with the word 600 in it? Let's
there
see.
There are, but it was such a stretch to try to line those up.
We could do, we could watch My 600 Pound Life. We could watch 600 Miles. I don't know what that is.
No.
Yeah, 600 Miles was the one that came up the most, like people telling us you should do that for, it's what's his name? Tim Roth movie.
I like Tim Roth.
And it's not streaming. It's not, it doesn't, I don't know. It just doesn't
it
look
does
great.
Have the stream.
Came out in 2015, you know, not reviewed that well. Yeah, I don't know anything about this. 2015 is a great year for movies, though. I don't blame them for being underlooked because, you know, there was one huge movie that year that really made everybody look bad. Oh, by the way, while you're thinking about it, everybody, and I say those words, go check out these reviews on Rotten Tomatoes for Sisu, which opened or is opening. Let's see. This might get me to theaters. 93% Rotten Tomatoes, 90% nice. Audience score. People are like losing their minds over this. I cannot wait for this movie. Can't wait to see it.
Go see it. I saw it yesterday. It was real, real good.
I keep hearing Mad Max meets John Wick meets great revenge film meets millions of things. It's supposed to be amazing. Can't wait.
It is not original. This is very paint by numbers in many, many ways.
They just paint it really well.
I promise you. It's like Picasso paint by numbers. Yeah. It's so good.
Stunning set pieces, plenty of blood, and arguably the best sound work of the year. Oh, I can't wait. All right.
The year.
If you are having a problem with loud sounds, it's very loud.
Yeah, it sounds very, like very you're, well, clearly, Ibn and I are ready for all your loud sounds. Let's do it.
Right. Sweet.
Filmsack.com is our website. In the meantime, check it out. And also patreon.com/filmsack. As I've mentioned before, filmsack@gmail.com. And leave us those texts and voicemails at 801-471-0462. That is going to do it for us, for me, for Brian, and for Randy.
Unbelievable. Identical strangers.
We'll see you next time.
If you like what you just heard, there's a very good chance you will like all the shows on the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
Oh, why didn't that play?
King size nut.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter.
Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.